Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.
Welcome in to the Dynasty Happy Hour Open Bar. Doug interrupted me already. Get used to that for the next hour. I'm back, man. I'm back in the 512. Sorry, guys. Just give me a second to breathe a little bit. Get in this Texas humidity. I got a cocktail in my hand. I'm in front of my regular microphone. It feels good to be back. But enough about me. This is the open bar. We're here to talk football, drink cocktails. I've got four with me currently. I'm trying to get a fifth in right now, but technical difficulties holding us back. My co-host, Jay Mike, how you doing, man?
Yay. Feeling fantastic. Ready to get this bar opened up for everybody.
Hey, shout out to you, man. I couldn't watch live, but I kind of chimed in when I could or whatever, awkwardly. And I didn't mean to, by the way. I was just trying to watch while my wife was away. But I listened back, and shout out to J. Mike, man. He held it down, kept the open bar going. And thank you, Doug, for the assistance on that, too. So
good. We had an absolute ball last week without you, which just prompted the question, what is the bar without you? We talked about it and made a decision, and John, we're going to go in a different direction.
Bar rescue, John Taffer.
No, we had fun. The gurus came through. Trophy time came through. Keaton Denlay. I mean, we were action packed. It was a good time, but certainly glad you are back in the head honcho spot, leading us where we need to go.
I saw that. So speaking of the gurus, we only have one third of those this week. It's Eddie, Doug, Eddie. How you doing, brother?
I'm excellent. How are you this evening?
Fantastic.
Yeah, you're drinking a fifth. We're waiting on a fifth. Like, let's do this.
I was ready to go. I was talking to George earlier. I'm like, look, I already got my cocktail picked out. I'm ready to go tonight.
Well, I'm on that Propel water life. I'm on a diet.
Hey, look, we always need a DD. We need that Blue Dolphin.
Sorry.
Drinker swimming through the ocean.
Bob's the driver, not me.
Oh.
I'm the driver. I don't know.
Well, George, newcomer. We got a couple newcomers to the open bar. Welcome on, man. And how you doing?
Yeah, I thought it started like 2 hours ago because I've been drinking scotch since about basically.
Good.
Like so I had to switch to water just so I could make it home okay.
From Iowa.
And by home, Iowa, you mean a hotel in Iowa.
Right, a hotel in Iowa, which is not actually my home.
Iowa, I've said this before, the consonant to vowel ratio, too much for me. I can't handle that. And let's move on. I don't want to talk about Iowa. Sorry, George. And welcome in another fella. I just kind of met him recently, shouting out that he's looking to get on some podcasts. And I figured, well, why wouldn't you want to drink beer and talk football? It's
exactly.
So how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Just happy to be here. This looks like a fun time. And I didn't get my cocktail in time, but maybe if the wife stops up before she goes to bed, I'll tell her to grab me one.
Well, the good news is that this cocktail, I have had it before on the open bar, and there are so many types of liquors in it that I think that y'all will be fine, and I'm covered for just about everyone.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for having me on, and great to be happy to talk some fantasy football with you guys.
Well, not just fantasy football. Well, I guess fantasy football since it's related, but we kind of brought you on for a special reason. So give us, tell us why you're here, really, Bob.
Are we talking about the award that I received today?
Is
that
actually, no. We just really enjoy your haircut. It's a good look.
It's a good look, yeah. I'm trying to look like Kurt Warner's wife now. I put out the Fantasy Football Consistency Guide, which is out on Amazon and also on the website, which is bigguyfantasysports.com. So that's what we're here to talk about, and I appreciate you guys having me on for it.
So consistency, here I go already. I'm already like,
yeah.
It's kicking in.
I'm done.
That's some strong scotch.
Well, it's just a scotch rinse.
Okay.
Like I said, seven liquors.
Well, aren't you fancy?
Oh, fancy, huh? No, Bob, so tell us more about it, though, because consistency is pretty important in fantasy football. I certainly like to have consistent players from week to week, and unless it's a best ball, I don't mind the boom or bust type of guys. But so kind of what was your process getting through this? And maybe even we'll have a chance to share some of the players.
Right. So I've been playing fantasy football since 1985. And so before the internet, we did it by hand. That was the old school. And about 2002, so the league we were in, because it was all done by hand, was touchdown only. So the scoring was pretty easy, pretty much. They score a touchdown, you get points. If they don't, you get nothing. So 2002, my team was the leading scoring team in the league, and I was 7-7. So I did not make the playoffs. With that terrible 500 record. And what I found was I had on my team the 2002 NFL MVP, which was Shaun Alexander, and he scored 15 touchdowns that season. Problem was, he scored five of them on one Monday night game, and two other times he scored two or more in other games. The rest of the year, he was pretty much not doing much of anything. Therefore, I said, man, if he just scored one touchdown every week for his 15, I would have won three more games and I would have made the playoffs. And that's kind of where it came from there, just being a CPA by trade, kind of crunching the numbers, putting it in, had a brother-in-law who does Visual Basic. So got a database scenario going on. And I created this whole system that I could put in whatever scoring method you wanted to put in, and it would calculate how consistent those players are. And then I expanded on that by helping to identify who those players were that were both not only consistent but also inconsistent, and help identify that to everybody out there to help them improve, hopefully, their teams on a yearly basis in a season-long league.
Awesome.
I actually owned Shaun Alexander that year in a contract year dynasty league.
Yeah, I was going to say that you have brought that up exactly on Grab Bag Fantasy before, Doug. Yep. And I've heard it from other people as well, that Shaun Alexander year is just a mess. So, it's good to be able to dodge those bullets. So, well, we're here to talk football. Let's talk about a few of those. We're at halftime, by the way, of the Texans and Panthers game. We can talk about that in a little bit if we'd like. But I want to talk about this this consistency chart. So, let's just go one at each position. Is that all right? Because sure. You have it at each position. Yeah.
Yeah. So break down each position. So, you know, so perfect guy like that is very consistent, but doesn't get a lot of love because of his consistency at wide receiver is a guy named Jarvis Landry. Last 2 years in a row, he's been over a 75% consistent rate, which is a very good wide receiver one type numbers. But yet his ADP is somewhere around wide receiver 15, 16, 17. Now, even with a change to Jay Cutler, I think he'll still maintain that because he's a good possession receiver. He's going to help Cutler out when he gets in trouble. So I think nothing much will change there. So he's one that is, you know, on paper doesn't look like he's a great fantasy or a top, you know, a wide receiver one guy, but he certainly puts up wide receiver one consistency. At the running back situation scenario, you've got, you know, basically a guy like, and here's the one that's probably going to maybe surprise some people. One of the guys that was top 10 last year in consistency at running back in a PPR format was Frank Gore. Ooh. And, you know, this year he's going out at running back like 30.
And fantasy cockroach.
Yeah. And everybody thinks he's dead. Everybody's given up on him, but you know, him and Keith Richards just keep going. So, you know, he's the kind of guy that just, you know, I've been drafting a lot of leagues as my running back three or four, and that's I'll probably have him starting up, you know, in my starting lineup pretty quick. Quarterback position.
Let's stop Mike. Here and talk okay. about those two guys. Cause I want to hear from everyone. I mean, sure. You know, you've gone through your thing and we all believe you a little bit. We've watched football the last year. We saw Frank Gore had a top 12 season. We had Jarvis Landry, top 15, 14, 13, whatever. So how do y'all feel? Doug, George, J. Mike, chime in on those two players, or at least whoever you want to talk about.
I guess I'll go since everyone else seems quiet. I mean, you know, the big question with Landry now is Jay Cutler, right? Because the only guy who's probably less consistent than Ryan Tannehill may be Jay Cutler. and I didn't even do the analysis, and I'm just saying that off the cuff.
Right.
But I like Landry. I mean, he's that guy that you know, regardless of quarterback, he should be fine, right? And right. And with Gore, I mean, his price is more because of his age, and everyone's waiting for that inevitable year. And I think, you know, how many guys have drafted Josh Robinson or Josh Ferguson or now Marlon Mack or Robert Turbin or
Vic Ballard,
whoever the hell else there's been, you know, it's like, yeah, Vic Ballard, it's like, you know, people have tried and he, you know, he's not going away. And, but everyone's just like, well, it's one more year, so he'll go away. I mean, if I had to interject my consistent guys, Laquon Treadwell, because he consistently did nothing last year. And
consistently swings both ways.
No, he had one catch, George. It was a little
that's
inconsistent.
True. That was a huge variance. Yeah.
1.5, 2.5 fantasy points, man. That this shit put me over the top last year.
Well, I was gonna say, other than best ball leagues, I'm sure his consistency was pretty good on the bench all year. So you know. Yeah.
He was consistently
yeah, I mean, other than that, I don't have too much. Yeah, I don't have too much else. I mean, Landry, you know, he's a guy I really like, and I know I'm pretty high on in dynasty leagues, and I like him in redraft too. Because I mean, anytime you can get a wide receiver too who you can count on, for it. I mean, I think you can take your shots later. You don't need to take your shots on your wide receiver one or two.
Mm-hmm. And then I tend to fade Landry as if you're just playing in a standard format, non-PPR. Which I do play in a few of those. So Landry tends to slide a little bit. He doesn't score a ton of touchdowns. He doesn't get a ton of yards, but in PPR, he's cash money. So I agree with Bob on that from a consistency standpoint. But just if it's standard scoring, I'm a lot less interested in Landry. But I think that makes sense based on his skill set and the statistics that he puts up on a consistent basis.
When we look at Fantasy Football Calculator over the last month, just over the last month alone, July 9th to August 9th, and I imagine this is probably going to fluctuate even more. Jarvis Landry is currently going as wide receiver 22, typically 408. Pick 408, and that's in PPR leagues, 12-team PPR leages.
That's low.
Yeah, I was just about to say, do you guys see that? Do you guys see that going up at all with a guy like Jay Cutler who's willing to get the ball out to guys? Or, like, where does Landry go from here? Is this about where he's going to be?
I don't think it helps Landry all that much. Here's the thing with Cutler. So if you look at the history of Jay Cutler, he doesn't tend to focus too much on the slot receivers. He likes to throw it to the outside guys, at least, you know, what he's done in the past from a tendency standpoint. So I think Landry, I don't think his ADP is going to go up at all. I think if anything, it may slip just a little bit because people may put, you know, two and two together. I mean, but Jay Cutler's never had a slot guy like Landry either that I can recall.
And
so
that's the kicker. You
know, yeah.
No, I think he's a wide receiver. I don't think he's a kicker.
Touche, George.
No, I mean, I agree. I think Devontae Parker might be the big winner out of the Cutler ad, if anybody.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah, I don't think it affects Landry too much for me. I'm more of it affecting Parker, if anyone. And I guess Landry is kind of his own worst enemy to a degree. He gets a lot of his points from receptions. Yeah, because he's kind of that close to the line of scrimmage kind of guy. But he also gets a lot of his points from the yards after the catch. And that's kind of his big thing. So if that can somehow be contained, or if that has been an outlier the last couple of years, and I don't really think it is, because I think he's great after the catch. So I think it's fair to say he's consistent and will be a wide receiver too. As far as my redraft rankings, I think I've got him in top 20, like 17, 18.
Cash. So, I think it's fair to say he's consistent and will be a wide receiver too. As far as my redraft rankings, I think I've got him in top
20. I had a feeling it was Dwight. Well, the good news is, Dwight, is that I can hear myself on your end, which was absolutely amazing. I just had to sit back for a second and
allow myself to get an outside of the body experience.
myself.
Oh,
I started like looking at my drink, and I was like, "Oh God!"
You know, you guys talked about Jay Cutler. You know, it was back in 2014, he was actually a top 10 consistent quarterback that year. When he had, you know, Marshall and Jeffries both at peak. But the other thing that it was interesting that year as well is that Martellus Bennett had a very good season. So he kind of likes tight ends. So I really actually have been drafting Julius Thomas late in a lot of redrafts. And I think he's going at a great value at tight end this year as well.
Yeah, the value is definitely there. And I mean, you can preach that narrative a little bit with the Gase and the Cutler connection and tight mm-hmm. ends and Martellus Bennett, like you said, and it's definitely there. And you're not taking a risk like at all. I mean, what is he, right. what is he going in ADP oh, right now?
You oh, 10, that. 14, 12. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, like probably 20th like 120th or something. Fifth. Right. Right. Yeah. You got that, J Mike. It looks like you've been looking at the ADP there on Fantasy Football Calculator. So while you're looking.
Yeah, I did an experts draft last night with the guys from the huddle, and I got Julius Thomas for $2 in an auction.
Beautiful.
Yeah, he's going in the, over the last month. He's going as tight end 18, 13, okay. Around 1309. Yeah. So yeah, that's free.
Why not?
Yeah. I actually thought he was going to be later than that. Maybe I'm crazy, but I thought he was going to be past 18.
Well, guys after him are like Austin Hooper, David Njoku, Evan Ingram, Dwayne Allen. So a lot of names that would
Austin Hooper yeah. after Hooper, Julius Thomas.
Yeah, Hooper's the guy. Yeah, Hooper's the guy I'd take in that.
Yeah,
in
me
that
too.
Situation.
Yeah.
No. I'm taking Julius Thomas all day, man. Julius Thomas is going to be top 10 in both consistency and total points this year.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Boy, somebody get the fire extinguisher for that mic.
Love it.
Gone.
Love it.
I think I might have to do a little fun bet with Bob. I would say Hooper outscores Thomas.
Ooh. Yes.
I'm in. I'm with you, George.
I'm in.
All right.
We'll come up with something off the air to bet on that one.
This is the first open bar challenge. This is going to be good.
Open bar challenge. All right. We're ready for that. All right.
Very good.
It's the Greek blood versus Bob. I'm not mostly Greek. Let's do this.
Well, let's mic check with Dwight real quick. Dwight, have you joined us? We don't know. It doesn't sound like it.
Doesn't
buddy.
Look good. Either that or he's trying to do an impersonation of a Japanese movie.
But Dwight, you're looking great tonight, man. We were talking about the shirt, and we're loving it. Give us a look at the shirt at least.
Does he know he looks like CK or Louis CK?
Let me see.
That's what I'm going with.
Back in the day.
Very nice.
What's up? Yeah, I was just looking at trying to buy one of those old Nintendos. Aren't they releasing those soon, or have they already?
The Super Nintendo is getting released in September. The Nintendo, the original one, the Mini, is discontinued. But I got a fresh one sitting in my basement, but it's not for sale.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
See, I feel like I feel a little bad now.
My son's going to use it.
I feel a little bad because like everyone's wearing like t-shirts and stuff, and I thought this happy hour was at like a club, so I got like my button down on.
We're classy.
see,
buttons and collars.
J Mike got it. Yeah,
I was honestly in a white pajama shirt because I'm on my last day of summer as a teacher, and I'm just like owning it on the couch all day. And then I looked at myself in the webcam. I was like, oh man, I better put on a shirt, make myself look half representable.
Hey Bob, I got a quick question as it pertains to just with your consistency rankings. I've got a follow-up after this, but before that I want you to talk through a quarterback that you like a lot this year, particularly as it pertains to the consistency. And after that I want to get into your methodology for a second. So who's your quarterback that you like a lot this season?
So my quarterback this year is not Tyrod Taylor, but I like Tyrod Taylor as my backup. And the funny thing is, this was my guy last year, and people literally laughed at me when I said it, and that was Kirk Cousins.
Hey!
And so last year I said that I was taking Kirk Cousins in most of my leagues in the 10th round because he had a great consistent end of the season before that in 15. And I said, he's the kind of guy that I really believe is going to be a great value. Him and Jamison Crowder. I had Jamison Crowder as my pick last year as well. And of course I, you know, made the playoffs in 13 out of the 19 leagues I was in. And most of it was because I had Cousins and Crowder in a lot of leagues as well as like my wide receiver 4, 5, or 6. And I think Cousins still is getting no love. I mean, he's still going in the 7th, 8th round. He was 5th in total points last year. And 4th in consistency behind Brady and Rodgers. And so I'm like, I don't understand why this guy just gets no love. Yeah, he lost a couple of his guys, but he replaced with Terrell Pryor, who's really good. He still has Crowder. Doxson's back and should be healthy. If Reed can stay healthy, I just don't see any reason why. They have to throw the ball. They don't have hardly any running backs. They have Fat Rob and Samaje, which I think sounds like, you know, Fresh Prince and, you know, DJ Fresh or whatever. But I really like Cousins this year, and I'm probably going to draft him in a lot of leagues.
So I kind of remember, I don't know if it was last year or the year before. I'm trying to pull things up right now, but I don't have points right in front of me, but all I have is touchdowns in front of me. I know that in like 50% of his games, he was going like either like two or three touchdowns or zero or one touchdown. So, I mean, as far as touchdown consistency, it doesn't seem all there. So what kind of argument do you have against that? And I don't have the points in front of me.
Well, it's because it's based on total points. So he may have been throwing for a lot of yards in those games, but not throwing for the touchdowns. He actually ran a few in as well. So that probably helped him in some of those games. So, you know, at the end of the day, he had a consistency rate of about 70, 75%, which, like I said, was right up there with, you know, like I said, he was tied with Drew Brees last year, who was second in total points. So, you know, there's no reason not to believe that he can't continue to do that. Again, he's in the NFC East, where they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. There's not a really good defense hardly in any of those teams he's playing against. I just think there's really nothing to change much. I think he puts up the points again this year, remains consistent. And, you know, again, when you're getting him in the seventh, eighth round, it's hard to beat the value.
So we just recorded Trophy Time last night, shameless plug. And it was a bold predictions episode. And one of my bold predictions was that Jamison Crowder would lead the NFL in receptions and Kirk Cousins would lead the NFL in passing yards this year.
Man.
With over 5,000.
That might be more risky than my Julius Thomas pick, but okay.
Well, it was a bold prediction episode.
That's very bold.
Try to be bold, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I love the Washington. I'm buying all the Washington passing game.
Yeah.
All day.
Jordan Reed.
Except for Jordan Reed, because
yeah, he can't. He's made a glass.
Yes, and that's my biggest concern. If I have to spend draft capital on him, it really concerns me. But that's just me.
Right.
I think I'd love to see them get a run game, because I mean, he was a guy who actually did really good on the play action. I think he had the third highest completion rate on play action passes, and that was with a terrible run game.
Right.
So it's like, give him anything. Give him a threat. You know, maybe P. Ryan at least scares a few people. Right. And like,
I hope so.
And he still had more.
Matt Jones.
What's that?
You mispronounced Matt Jones.
Fat Rob.
At least we don't have to worry about Keith Marshall.
I mean, you know, and Pryor's such a good fit. So I'm happy with that.
Because the Browns obviously didn't want to pay him. God forbid we actually keep a good player.
They needed to make room for Kenny Britt.
Okay? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That made a lot of sense.
Yeah, they basically exchanged like almost identical players, but with less athleticism-ish. Probably
6-7 years difference in age.
Well, they made the mistake and they got Brian Quick instead of Kenny Britt. Yeah. Classic goof up.
Bob, as we continue to look at just consistency in general, as it pertains to rookies, or just what's the general timeline that you need to be able to set a baseline for consistency? Because you said you had a really good feeling about Jamison Crowder, and of course that was incredibly early in his career. So how long do you need before you can feel comfortable about a baseline?
Well, you know, it's really not a matter of time. It's just watching. So one of the things I put in the book for every player in their player profile is their consistent games earned by week. And what I usually look at is that late season consistency surge that nobody will pay attention to. And like I said, if you go back, you know, to 2015 at the end of the year, Crowder went like 3 for 4 in the last four games with Cousins at the helm. And I just said his ADP last year was like, I don't know, 185 or something. And I said, you know, there was a nice chemistry between the two players at the end of the year. I think if you're going to take one of those deep sleeper flyers, Crowder is a good guy to go for, because I think, you know, he'll continue that, you know, with Cousins. And it did. It worked out well. And that did. And I've done that with others. The year before, Antonio Gates and Jimmy Graham both broke out. They were like 5 out of 6, or, you know, 6 out of 7, or 4 out of 5 in the last few games at the end of the year, that showed that they had some consistency working with their quarterback. And then the next year they broke out, and you know, became, you know, the studs that they were in New Orleans and San Diego. So that's usually the kind of stuff I look for. You know, obviously changing teams, all that kind of stuff will mess with their consistency. So, you know, like a Terrell Pryor and somebody like that. But if you're consistent with the Cleveland Browns, you're probably going to have a little more consistency with Washington and mm-hmm. a good quarterback like Kirk Cousins. So that's the kind of stuff that I look for, you know, and try to identify those players as they go into the next season.
Very cool.
How does a guy like, I don't know, like Zeke or Bell or Johnson go on that? Because I know they finished, you know, first, second, and third, respectively. Right. But how did they do on the consistency? Because, they're scoring like one or two touchdowns a week, but then they have like these huge games that could possibly like skew the data. So does it kind of misrepresent the studs sometimes as far as the consistency goes?
Well, I mean, you know, the way that I promote that kind of stuff is that there's a tier. So like a running back 1A is guys that earn an 80% consistency rating or over. So, you know, Bell, Johnson, and Zeke all were, you know, either 94%, 92%, you know, in a PPR format. So they all missed only one or two games. They were either 14 out of 16 or 15 out of 16. So, you know, if you're over 80%, that's outstanding. I mean, you know, there isn't too many guys that were over 80% last year in any of the positions. You know, Antonio Brown, Jordy Nelson, you know, there was nobody at tight end over 80%. The highest was 75%, which was Kyle Rudolph. You're welcome.
I was going to say it's got to be.
And, you know, it wasn't Kelsey. It wasn't Gronk. It wasn't Olsen. It was Kyle Rudolph in a PPR format that was 75%. Jordan Reed tied him, but in only 12 games. So in all 16 games, Kyle Rudolph was the best. But, you know, so like you said, that's kind of how I look at it. So, yeah, they have huge games. I mean, the total points is still a factor, but the consistency adds to it. So that's why when I do their profiles, I show not only where they ranked in total points last year, but also then in consistency. So, again, a guy like Mike Evans, who is third in total points, but 18th in consistency, shows that that's the guy that you don't want to be picking in the first round because, you know, but people look at that total points and they go, oh wow, this guy's great, he was top three, I gotta pick him in the first round. He didn't, there's a lot of games he didn't help you, so that's when you don't want to take that chance.
So last guy for to kind of wrap up all the positions, how about tight end?
So like I said, the guy that I mean, even though Kyle Rudolph was number one last year and I still like him, I think he's great value. He is a little higher than I expected. A lot of people are giving him a little more love than I thought. I don't see any reason why his consistency is going to go away because he still has Sam Bradford throwing the ball. And obviously Sam Bradford loved him. He was a nice safety target for him. I don't see that changing much. So he's certainly a guy that if I wait on a tight end to round 7, 8, 9, Kyle Rudolph's going to be sitting there. But my favorite guy this year that I'm picking in round 5 or 6, just because I think he's going to have an even bigger year, is either Martellus Bennett or Jimmy Graham.
Graham's been getting a lot of buzz in preseason camp. He's dropped some weight, and they say the speed looks a lot faster, which is good.
Yeah, he really had a great second half.
How quickly we forget that. What was it, two, three seasons ago?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about him and Gronk. We talk about him and Gronk as being like the cream of the crop of tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
He blows his leg out, and then all of a sudden we just like leave him for dead, like, he's done.
Seattle used him so poorly the first year they got him. That like it's like they totally had no idea how to even utilize this guy. And then last year they figured it out in the second half of the season. He was outstanding with Russell Wilson. And I just think he's going to build on that this year. And I'm picking him in a ton of drafts so far.
Love it. So Martellus Bennett in the 5th or 6th round, is that what you said?
I think he's actually going later than that. I think he's going in more of the 7th or 8th round. I think I was trying to say more like Graham was going 5th or 6th, but Bennett's going 7 or 8 right out there with Kyle Rudolph. And I think Bennett's going to have a very good and consistent year. And I think he'll easily be top 10, top 7 in tight ends as well in Green Bay.
Yeah, so, Bob, I'm currently going. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
For you about Jimmy Graham, because I actually wrote up an article and it's called Imploders of guys that I don't think will pay off at their current age. And actually had Jimmy Graham on that. The way he finished the last four games of the season, he only had 8 receptions in 4 games, only exceeded 50 yards once, and had 1 touchdown. And to me, like, looking through some different things, so I know he didn't finish the season all that great, but it almost seemed like he was most successful when Russell Wilson was not healthy. And the healthier that Russell Wilson got, but does that concern you at all, or is it just a matter of, like, Russell Wilson's going to come in 100%. They're going to use Graham a little bit more. Graham's in better shape. You know, can you walk me through what you think on, you know, that kind of process as far as, like, looking at, you said, looking at the end of the season, I look at it and I'm like, he really found the stretch.
Yeah, your connection's going in and out, so you kind of broke up. I mean, I'm looking at my profile in the book, and over the last 7 weeks, so that's weeks 11 through 17. The only 2 bad weeks he had was week 14 and 15 that he didn't earn a clutch game. The other 5 that he did, and that's in a PPR format. So maybe he didn't have the yards, maybe he had the catches, but he was 5 out of 7 over the last 7 games.
Yeah, week 13, 14, and 15, he had 1 catch, 1 catch, 2 catches.
Well, you earned it in 13. Did he score a touchdown?
And in week, he had 1 catch for 16 yards, no touchdowns.
1 catch for 16 yards and no touchdowns?
Yep. That's what I'm looking on Pro Football Reference. Because, yeah, I did the research on Graham, and I didn't like what I saw at the end of the season from him. So that's why I wanted to mention it. I do like him going.
Week 13. But, yeah, like I said,
Green.
He keeps breaking up.
Sorry.
Yeah, Doug, you sound awful. It sounds like Dynasty Happy Hour, the main show, like a few weeks
ago. I'm going to go punch myself.
Yeah, I'm punching myself in the...
Can we... I was going to say...
Sorry, John. I was just going to say real quick, I think he's looking at it wrong. The 1 for 16 game was his 13th game of the season, not week 13.
There you go.
Yeah, so that was week 14. The week before that, he had a touchdown on... Okay.
So there was week 14 was the one I said he didn't earn one. 14, right. 15, he did not.
Yep, that's where he went 1 for 16 and 1 for 31. And then week 16, he went 2 for 43 with a touchdown.
Right. Okay.
Thanks, George.
So that's a confusion. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to correct your error.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
You're like the guy on Around the Horn. It does.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Tony Reale, I think it was back in the day. Yeah.
You got the get up down. I mean,
that's right. I'll just button this one
halfway there.
Just throw paper at me.
No, I was just
43 and a half out will break.
Misses it every time. I want to swing this consistency discussion a little differently because our guy George here, obviously a writer over at PFF, and George. Little do you know, I am a Jaguars fan, which is a depressing thing. Gabe also likes the Jaguars, and so at what I read in your position battles to watch for fantasy football, and I was shocked that first of all the Jaguars even made the discussion, but also the fact that you believe. Well, I don't even want to spoil it. Who do you think is going to be lining up opposite of Allen Robinson come week one?
Yeah, I got a little crap for that one too. I think Marquise Lee wins it over Allen Hurns, and I agree. Allen Hurns too. I like Hurns. I don't think he's a bad player, but Lee showed a lot last year, and Hurns actually looked pretty good in the slot. So I just think it makes sense for them to utilize it in that way. And I mean, you know, their tight end situation's not that great anyway. So I mean, they can always out the 3 wide receivers, even if they run it with Fournette about 35 times a game. But yeah, I prefer Lee. I think that he showed a lot of why he was the first guy drafted out of that group of 3. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, Hurns is the only one with that contract. I mean, Lee and Robinson will both be free agents. And then they drafted Dede Westbrook, who I like as that guy who can take the lid off the top. So, yeah, I mean, I think all 4 guys will get play, but I do think Lee's the guy to go outside opposite Robinson, and I think Hurns will largely play in the slot.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I was actually at training camp on Monday, Patriots versus Jaguars.
Suck it, Doug.
No, I was just going to say Marquise Lee and Blake Bortles definitely had the connection that was cooking between the two. Yeah, I would say that's one thing that stood out to me is Bortles to Lee was looking really, really good.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like Lee a lot over Hearns, and I'm a big Hearns fan. And Hearns was real consistent 2 years ago, the same year Robinson was really consistent. And I really like both of them going to last year. And, of course, that came back to burn me, as it did basically 90% of the people out there. And, you know, I just felt like but I agree with you. Lee really seemed to click with him late in the year. And if he's clicking with him now, it's even more.
Yeah, and I think Bortles kind of changed the way he played too, because I mean that 2015 he was chucking the ball down the field. I think he led the NFL in deep pass attempts, and then last year he wasn't that guy.
Losing so much,
and yeah, last year he wasn't that guy, and Lee fits better into that more conservative, you know, not so aggressive pass game, and Lee's very good at making people miss yards after the catch, and Hearns isn't quite that kind of player, so I think it maybe just fits where they're going with that offense more.
Go ahead, J. Mike.
I read that and I was taken aback, because it's almost like Jaguar fans' dream come true. Like, oh, Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson, like, we're getting the band together finally, what we always hoped for. Like, it was, I don't know. So you got me excited, but then I think about, if I get excited about Marquise Lee, that means I have to have some sort of faith in Blake Bortles, and it just messes with me so bad, so bad.
Well, and thinking back 2 years ago, when Allen Hearns kind of had his breakout year, and Lee was injured that year for most of the year, he had a lot of soft tissue issues. And last year, it was kind of flipped, where Lee was finally healthy, and then Hearns was kind of banged up all year. So it's kind of a shitty situation that you can bring up the short yardage thing, but maybe that's just because Hearns was out, or maybe because 2 years ago that he was doing the long ball thing because Hearns and Robinson were both in there as kind of deep threats. But yeah, it's tough to say, but just give me a Rob and hopefully he can figure out how to match up against good corners.
that would be the hope. Now, Bob, when it comes to a guy like Blake Bortles, who keeps finishing as a top 12 quarterback the last couple of years, what does his consistency ranking look like, or how does that look like for you when you lay it down on a chart there?
Terrible. last
In
year,
a word, horrid.
So 2 years ago, Bortles was tied for fifth in consistency with 69%, 11 out of 16. Last year, he was tied for 13th and was only 50%, even though, like you said, he was ranked ninth in total points, so he's top 10 for the second time, but his consistency dropped off drastically, as to no one's surprise. And so, yeah, he was 13th. It may go up a little bit, but I don't think I would draft him more than as a backup at this point.
Yeah, but I wouldn't blame anyone.
Draft him as a backup in the real NFL.
I wouldn't blame someone. I mean, he's got upside as a backup. I would take him over some of those other, you know, I mean, Alex Smith type of guys, you know, I mean, I think it's worth, like, you know, when you talk about consistency versus inconsistency, sometimes, you know, taking an inconsistent guy as your backup isn't a bad option. Just knowing that you might be able to play a matchup or play an opportunity.
Right.
And
right. He may be playing against the Browns that week. So it's perfect.
Blake Bortles currently going as quarterback number 22. Jay Cutler's actually going ahead of him. Carson Palmer, Jay Cutler ahead of him, Sam Bradford and Alex Smith right behind him. So it's interesting how that works.
Okay. Let's change gears here. Sorry about consistency, but I'm starting to sweat profusely because I'm on the clock in a league and I need y'all's help.
Oh, okay. Do tell.
Okay, so it's a Scott Fish league, so understandably so as to why I'm sweating. But if you saw it on Twitter a couple days ago, he was putting out the 1 to 128 league. So there's essentially 32 teams, and you're just picking positions as a whole. So you pick a quarterback team, you know, from wherever,
like quarterback Packers or.
Collectively as a team, right, and then wide receiver and then tight end. So just you have a four-man team of teams. But so I've already gone through my first pick, and I have the Lions wide receivers. Pretty consistent about, like, top 15 in wide receivers the last 2 years, and I think it doesn't get any worse this year. I think they only got better with Kenny Galladay. But
Jared Arbedaris.
Jared Iberdares, yeah. We need to stop talking about fifth string wide receivers from the Packers on this podcast like I did a couple weeks ago.
Geronimo!
Geronimo! All right. So I'm kind of looking at it like I want running backs right here because I've kind of already looked at tight ends and quarterbacks, and it is a tight end premium. And tight ends and quarterbacks actually score very closely, but the difference between like the number one and the number 15 isn't that bad to me. So I'm not really sweating those. So let's just keep this simple and look at running backs. What do y'all think about the Raiders, the Eagles? I'm just looking at the top from last year, by the way, the Jets, the Redskins, the Bengals, those five.
What about the Patriots?
Patriots are gone.
Mm.
Of course. They okay. Are.
Name them again.
Raiders. They were third last year. Okay. Eagles, okay. guess what the Eagles were last year, and then guess what they were in 2015 as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They'd probably be pretty high because of Sproles.
Yep.
They were 10th last year. They were first in 2015.
DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, yeah. Darren Sproles trio.
And now they've got Blunt to sort Blunt. Of replace yeah. Murray with worse hips, but and then the Jets that didn't
RP Chip Kelly, by the way.
Right. And then Redskins, they were 13th last year. Bengals were 14th last year. Bengals did okay in 2015.
I was gonna say, I like the Bengals because you've got
I was thinking the Bengals too.
Yeah.
I was thinking at the very least you gotta drop out the Redskins and the Jets. I mean, they don't belong in the conversation.
Correct.
Sure. Right.
It's almost like it comes down to Oakland and Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oakland was third last year, but they didn't do so well 2 years ago. I think Latavius scored a lot of touchdowns last year.
And so Lynch. I mean, so yeah. They're third with all that going on. Lynch certainly is an upgrade. It may be your best bet to go to the Raiders then.
Yeah. I was thinking between Raiders and Bengals, that's for sure.
I just find it interesting. Yeah. Oakland brought their entire offensive line back again, I believe.
Right.
And then Cincinnati lost their top two with Zeitler going to Cleveland, Whitworth going to L.A. That
line's going to be pretty bad.
That
on
could
paper,
be
paper at least.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, this is a real interesting the only format here.
Positive is.
Sorry, go ahead there, George.
I was just going to say, I think the only offset there is the Bengals running backs probably get a ton of catches compared to the Oakland backfield.
Yeah, Gio and Mixon are going to, should get a good mix.
Right. I'd imagine they'll fall into the Angels.
Since the Raiders added Jared Cook, so that gives them a better tight end scenario than they had last year, too.
We're like talking ourselves in and out of everybody.
Take the Browns.
My gut says Bengals.
Take the Browns.
Take the Browns.
Crowell and Duke Johnson.
They were 18th last year. I was looking at them as well. They are available.
Duke Johnson's going to line up as a slot receiver. Crowell's going to catch balls out of the backfield.
The Bucks were 21st. The Lions were 23rd, but last year they were 2015, they were top 10. Seahawks, I kind of liked with that combination they've got.
I feel like Oakland's your safe bet. Yeah, I think that's your safe bet.
It's interesting because, like, in redraft this year, I've been kind of saying that, like, I kind of hate zero RB a little bit this year, unless it's like 0-0 RB, like super zero RB, you know, like get your like a Zeke and a Gurley in your first two rounds and then just kick it for the rest of the draft. Because it just seems like such a mess everywhere. But in this format, I mean, Cardinals were fourth, all right? Cowboys were seventh last year, and Steelers were eighth last year. And last year was a crazy year for running backs.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's weird.
An outlier to most. So, I mean, once you put in this team format, it really kind of throws you off a little bit. So
yeah, it does. All right, guys. Well, hey, I got to hit it. So thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate the time.
Hey, yeah. Thank you, Bob.
We'll do this again.
Absolutely. Where can we find you on Twitter? Give yourself another plug there.
Okay. So @Bob_Lung. Find me there on Twitter. And then the website is Big Guy Fantasy Sports.
Awesome. Yeah. Go. If you didn't catch the beginning of the show or live anyways, and I'm sure you're listening back now because you just love to hear these voices so damn much. Go check out that consistency chart. A lot of C's.
The guide,
excuse me.
Right.
Thank you. And it sounds fun, and and it sounds very mathematical. And for me, I'm like super interested, and I want to.
Well, yeah, no, definitely give me. Like I said, yeah, you guys give me your emails, and I'll send you all a free copy, and you guys can check it out. Maybe we can talk again in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, thanks, sir. Bob.
I'm all looking right. forward to looking at it, Bob. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
All right. Now that we
now can that breathe. Now that he's gone, now that he's gone, you're going Oakland, right?
Yeah. Hold on. We have to rewind. Doug, you would have appreciated that pun. Now that we can breathe.
With lung on? I like that.
Yeah, you took the wind out of my sails.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking Raiders, but I wish I could have gone like a zero RB team here and taken like the Bucks or the Seahawks, because I think they have a chance to be top 15, top 10 going in. They've got a lot.
I think the Seahawks were only like 23rd in rushing attempts, right, last year? I know they were low.
I guess let me look at how they did in 20. Well, I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Well, and the Bucks are going to miss Martin for a handful of games. And
but I mean, they've got Quiz. Fine. He got like 15 plus in like all of his starts, and Sims is there.
McWeapon.
Remember that you
McWeapon
on Hard Knocks today. That
Peyton Barber. I'm just saying. Peyton
Barber. Yeah. Remember, it's a team effort now.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't care if Jaquizz Rodgers doesn't get all the goal line.
If Peyton Manning and Rondé Barber had a child, it's Peyton Barber.
McWeapon.
Biggest forehead ever.
McFourth string. Come on.
Sounds like he's having a tough time with the playbook and learning things though. So
that Snoop Dogg's around, man. Don't worry.
That's true. Snoop knows. Hashtag Snoop knows.
So Gabe, the offensive line vote goes with Oakland. The backs go with probably Cincinnati. You like those groups. So what's it gonna be?
DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard though. Like they were super efficient last year.
Don't forget about Elijah Hood. Like
they're both averaging like five yards per carry.
Don't you laugh at me. Dude, like if Marshawn Lynch goes down, Elijah Hood's going to be a league winner there, Speedo.
No.
Oh, I like Elijah Hood.
I do too, thank but you. No.
He's part of the team. You just dissed him. Jesus, Gabe.
Okay. I'm drafting the Raiders, everyone. I'm drafting right. the Raiders. God. I thought about doing it.
Godspeed.
Football was on tonight. It's still on tonight. Panthers and the Texans. Did y'all watch the first half at all and watch Deontay Foreman just crush people?
I watched about 8 minutes into the first quarter up until the first half. I did not see Deontay Foreman crush anyone, however.
I heard there was some no-name guy, some undrafted rookie named Christian McCaffrey, McAfee.
Isn't that like an antivirus, like McAfee or McAfee?
I just heard he looked halfway decent. I don't know much else.
Yeah.
I thought McAfee's the guy who works for Barstool.
McAfee's definitely the guy who works for Barstool.
He used to be a punter. Is that what it was?
That's the one.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
At me at late round punter. Still available.
Oh, did you actually open that account or no?
No, but I really should. I want to
get on that, Gabe. That could be your hashtag brand, late round punter.
I know it really could be.
Hey, anytime you need someone to talk about punter leagues, I'm your guy.
I know. I need to get acclimated though.
It's sad but true.
I did see this. I did see the Kelvin Benjamin catch. That was pretty cool. People going to be hyped up about that. He's going to jump up about 10 spots in ADP. What do y'all think?
I love the value of pre-catch. Now it's like, God damn it. I was buying Kelvin Benjamin at his current ADP. He's a rock solid wide receiver too, in my opinion. I mean, everyone's pumping up Devin Funchess this week. Ugh. I don't know. I'm not a huge Funchess
guy.
Must have
missed that one.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Twitter chatter about, Funchess and this and that.
Third-year wide receiver breakout, Devin Funchess. It is interesting that he's only 23 years old. I mean, he's younger than, like, Kenny Golladay and Josh Doxon.
Cooper Kupp.
Those guys that are...
Cooper Kupp's like 40.
Yeah.
Well, that's why he's the most mature rookie.
Facts of life.
He's the Brandon Whedon of the rookie class.
I heard his 401k is on point. Kelvin Benjamin is currently going at wide receiver 32 in the
sixth round. Silly. That's silly to me.
Yeah, I would take that too.
Yeah, all day. Now it's going to be wide receiver 21 by this time next week.
And Martavis Bryant, he just looks like he can practice now. He's at wide receiver 24. So I'm sure I read a tweet from Josh ADHD that said, expect Martavis's ADP to jump two rounds. So probably true. And a bummer at that, because I was kind of telling this to people the other day. I don't really see much more than a wide receiver two with Antonio Brown and Lev Bell there. Do y'all agree with that at all?
He's currently going wide receiver 24.
Right.
Currently the end of the fourth round, 412. So if he jumps another two rounds,
he'll be going with Pryor and Thomas. And
I'm gonna take Martavis Bryant over DeAndre Hopkins.
No, that puts him in Doug Baldwin, Brandon Cooks, Hopkins territory. Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, that's silly. That's dumb.
That's not okay. I mean, he's awesome. Freak talent.
Didn't we make this mistake once with Josh Gordon? Didn't we make that mistake? didn't we do this already?
Yep. Why did you say once?
All right. Well, I'm just saying drafting him super high.
Yeah, no, I know.
Pun intended.
So, quick question. Martavis at the end of the fourth or Kelvin Benjamin in the middle of the sixth?
Kelvin. Give me the safe floor. I'll take it.
I think they end up at similar spots at the end of the year. I mean,
the upside with Martavis is it could be massive, right? I mean, that's what everyone's paying for, because he's obviously got the physical skill. He's in a good offense. He's a monster. You know, you split out his last 16 games, extrapolate, if you will. You know, he's a 10 touchdown, 1300 yard receiver. But there's the caveat of like, well, if you draft him, if he jumps up that high and you draft him and something happens, you're screwed. I'd rather take the safe floor of Kelvin Benjamin, where I'm going to have a guy that's probably going to play all year, and he's going to be relatively consistent on a week-to-week basis, I think, at least.
I mean, you talk about ceilings. As a rookie, he went for 73 catches, 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. So,
he also had a shit ton of targets, though.
I mean, fair. I mean, yeah, he had 145 targets. That's fair. But what if the efficiency and the catch rate increased?
Then,
I know. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying at all. I'm just saying, in terms of, if we're talking about ceilings, like, Kelvin Benjamin could have a pretty decent ceiling as well.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, that Pittsburgh offensive line is so good. It's like they're going to run a ton, you know? So I don't know. I just don't know if the upside's there without injury.
But you could say that too. Like, they'll protect Ben longer, so that gives more opportunities for the long bomb to Martavis.
Yeah, but I mean, are they going to take the chances if they know that they have, you know, the best running back in the league?
It's Big Ben. Of course he's going to take a chance. Come on.
And don't forget,
he's
going to
break
his
leg. Jesse Xavier Grimble for life.
Well, I don't think Big Ben has more than like one season of having two top 24 fantasy receivers. Yep, so it's like
maybe like Hines Ward and somebody.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean,
Holmes or something.
I forget what year it was.
It was a while ago, I think. Yeah.
This is interesting. Quick trivia here. Obviously, Antonio Brown was first on the Steelers in targets last year with 154. Lev Bell was second on the team with 94. Can you guess who was third on the team in targets?
Eli Rogers.
What was that? I was going to say, what's the number? I'm just curious what the number is.
For the third. Number is 66.
I'll say Eli Rogers.
Big Ben threw the ball 509 times last year, just for reference.
Jeez. So what, 300 vacated target or bad math?
Just because I don't want to guess Eli Rogers too, I'm going to say Jesse James.
Yeah. What do you got, Gabe?
That's what I said initially as well. Yep.
The winner, and it's actually really close, 66-60. Oh. Eli Rogers.
Yeah.
Eli Rogers had 66 targets. Jesse James with 60. Like, so if we're talking about Martavis, like, where does he eat into these?
All 126.
Well, didn't Coates have like another 50?
Yeah.
Next up, Sammy Coates had 49. Yeah. Okay. Ladarius Green had 34, and it just starts getting meaningless after that.
Kobe Hamilton had 4.
Yeah, 28 right. For Kobe. Yeah.
But I mean, Lev missed a few games, so you know his number could potentially D'Angelo go up too.
Lev Bell still had 94 targets.
You know, he missed.
That's insane.
I think that's about accurate with Martavis coming back, maybe just to kind of even things out. That's probably close.
94 in 12 games. Oh my gosh.
I'll be happy if Juju Smith-Schuster can get like 50 targets in his rookie year. That'd be nice.
Boo. I think that's actually reasonable.
I'd be happy with that in his first year. I think that would be good.
That just plays into your point, though. If you're talking about an offensive line, like you said, they're going to want to run the ball. Ben's going to take his shots. I'm just trying to figure out where all the volume's coming from. That's all.
It's hard because, I mean, it's a lot of good weapons, and Ben likes to spread the ball around. And, you know, here's my little known fact. Lev Bell has had 47 straight games of 50-plus all-purpose yards.
Wow.
That's the seventh longest streak in NFL history. And, like, I think in that streak, he has 19 games where he had just 50 receiving yards.
Who's got the longest, like Marshall Faulk?
I want to say it was O.J. Simpson. I think it was O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson. All right, that's before my time.
Is that active?
Yeah, he had 60. Priest Holmes had 59. Yeah, it's the longest active is 47.
Okay. Gotcha.
Longest active is 47.
He'll end up shattering that, I imagine.
Yeah, so I wrote an article that I think at some point is going to post to Pro Football Focus about it. So
the sneak peek.
The
one
last thing about Martavis that I kind of remember about, because Clint is huge into Martavis, and he brought up this chart on Twitter with he put like a prorated season for Martavis, and he would have ended up as like wide receiver 14 or 15 or something. I don't know when he ended up missing 10 games or whatever, 8 games. I don't know what he missed. Can't remember. But I also was mentioning that Le'Veon Bell had missed, you know, the majority of that season. And then he showed a chart of the splits between when Le'Veon Bell was in and when Le'Veon Bell was out and what Martavis's production looked like. Basically, when Le'Veon Bell was in, he was getting less receptions, but he was getting more red zone targets, red zone looks or touchdowns. But I would assume that was kind of a correlation. And then when he was out, he was getting more, you know, receptions and less touchdowns. So assuming that Le'Veon Bell stays healthy, then it's going to be more touchdown dependent for Martavis. And you can't guess that you can't, you know, consistently guess touchdowns from year to year. So I don't really want to bet on that either. So.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think there's... Oh, go ahead, George, go.
Oh, I was just going to add on, you know, one thing not to overlook is the fact that his playoff fantasy schedule is going to be Baltimore Ravens, New England Patriots, Houston Texans. I mean, that's a pretty rough pass defense lineup there at the end of the year. So, I mean, he might get you some big games early, but that's something to consider as you get later into the season.
Where are those games, George?
You know what? I got to double check. Let's see.
I think the Steelers game is in New England this year. If I remember correctly,
I think so.
But what I was going to make a point of is, so Le'Veon Bell, you know, his career high in touchdowns total is 11. So what if he has one of these monster years like David Johnson has 20 touchdowns? You know, Martavis, that's, you know, because he is going to be touchdown dependent. I mean, he's a freak, but yeah, I mean, if Le'Veon Bell really steps it up and has one of those classic running back seasons that we used to see with the 18, 20 touchdowns, man, that would be something.
Pretty unprecedented. Yeah.
It looks like it's home against the Ravens and Patriots and at Houston.
Okay, cool. Might have to go to that game. Travel down to Hines in the enemy territory.
All right, well, thank you for having me on, guys. I got to actually jump off, but I appreciate the time.
That's all right. We'll wrap it up here.
Thanks for coming on, George.
George, give yourself a plug and get you out of here.
Yeah, you can find all my work on Pro Football Focus. You can find me on Twitter at RotoHack, and if you don't have a subscription to Pro Football Focus, there's a pinned tweet on my Twitter, and they do a little commission for us if people sign up through it, and I'll be donating my commission to Fantasy Cares, which anyone who knows Scott Fish knows that, you know, one, I'm a big supporter of his, and two, he does a lot of great work with charity, so I was happy to help in that way. So if you do plan to sign up, definitely do that. I would love to give away as much of that money as I can.
Awesome.
Awesome. Good stuff, George.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, George.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for jumping on, bro.
All right. Take care.
Later.
Absolutely.
And then there were three.
Oh, man. The triangle.
My cocktail's out. So, I mean, I'm going to have to refill anyway.
God, please don't change that camera angle.
All right. All right. One last thing. Deontay Foreman, 9 for 76.
Oh, I gotta watch some film later.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna have to open up that Game Pass. He had a long for 41 yards. So then after that, it's 8 for 35.
They say he has been looking quite sterling in camp. So
yeah,
they've been really happy with him.
See you later, Lamar. Baby. Yep.
Poink.
McCaffrey, I was just looking at his ADP for redraft, 15th running back off the board in the third.
Probably like
that's a third, like complete avoid, so right?
If it's a PPR scoring league, I could possibly justify it. Maybe it's a reach still. If it's standard scoring,
I mean, that's you, at that point, it's that's around the ceiling, right?
I'd rather take Jay Stu much later.
I would think. Yeah, I mean, that's got to be the ceiling, really.
Yeah, you're taking him at the ceiling, man.
Yeah, and that's a mistake. If you take any player at their ceiling, that's not doing it the right way, in my opinion. Come at me. Let's fight.
All right. That was the last word then, Doug. We'll end with that. Go and fight Doug. Where can we find you on Twitter, Doug, to fight you?
So you can find me at Da Fantasy Father, and make sure you're checking out two awesome podcasts that I host. Shameless self-promotion. And that is Trophy Time and the Dynasty Happy Hour. So you can check me out on there. And I also write for tffgurus.com. I am a jerk of all trades.
Hey, talk about hashtag brand. Doug Eddy stock. If you guys aren't jumping in on it now, this is the time. Uh-huh. It's going through the roof.
I appreciate that. I'm trying my best.
I jumped that gun 3 months ago. I listened to Gurus for the first time, and I was like, I got to get this guy on my podcast. I'm going to get so many listeners. He's the fucking man.
It's so Gabe funny. Is an early adopter. I appreciate that.
I was on my way home from work one day listening to Grab Bag Fantasy for the first time. Oh. None other than Trophy Times Doug Eddy on talking about salary contracts and such. Mm. And Gabe was like, I don't know what's going on.
I deep dive.
that's what brought me in. You guys are the connection that bring me in. So I am basically your fantasy love child. your dynasty love child, if you will.
We make beautiful children.
Hey.
We sure do.
Look at that little chocolate dumpling. Oh.
Oh. Oh man.
And we're the frosting on the outside. It's that inside out Oreo, baby.
Hey, holla at me. They taste so much better.
All right, J Mike, how about you, my man?
On Twitter at J Mike Check, JMIC Check. I have done a ton of retweeting because I feel like there's a ton of good stuff going on, specifically with the Dynasty Happy Hour Network. I mean, fire all over the place, from the pod network to the team previews, all sorts of good stuff going on. So, yeah, check me out on Twitter at J Mike Check.
Do it. And I'm at Grab Bag Fantasy. The Grab Bag Fantasy podcast is the other podcast that I host individually, that is, because I got a co-host, J. Michael. But I've been
watch
taking
the
a that's right. Oh yeah. Yep. So I've been off a few weeks. I'm just scheduling issues for the most part, and hopefully we can get back this week. I still don't even know. I might just throw something together. I might change the route of the Grab Bag Fantasy podcast. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned with that. But for now, you can find me on Twitter. Hit me up. I'll get you on the show. We'll get a co-host like Eddie Doug, potentially.
I'm down.
But that'll do it for the Dynasty Happy Hour Open Bar. Put your glasses up, fellas, if you have one.
Propel
or
life.
Or just a fist. Wow, I was really the only one drinking tonight. Oh, my God.
Bro, tell me. You do about half my day today. I probably need that same drink you got, man.
That's true.
I'm trying to get slim. No empty calories. Let's do this.
Fair enough. All right. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, man. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.